Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day. Hope the energy is working your way. You know, this one of the things that is happening right now, or one of the things that I'm noticing more, I should say, it's always been happening, but there are symbols that are so profound that they just, they appear larger than life. And each person who has come to me with this kind of recognition or acknowledgement has also given me a piece of my own puzzle. Now, you know, if you talk to therapists and people, psychologists, people who do certain types of roles that have, I guess it's more like a community caregiver. I was searching for the word to describe it. Interactive. They also say that a lot of times their clients will come to them, and at the same time that they are experiencing something in their life, a client will appear who has a similar issue. And it's a way of mirroring and patterning in the way that our world reflects what's going on with us. And there's an amazing amount of energy coming through at this time. A lot of people are finally connecting their dots. And as we connect ours individually, then we pass that energy. We shift that element to help others make similar connections. Each does it his own unique way. You can go to 1,000 gurus. Every single one of them has the perfect key, the perfect solution. The clue is perfect. It may not be perfect for you because you have your own. And in that is the ultimate perfection. The beauty is, in this world, there is no such thing as perfection, because it's the drive, the illusion, the perception that somewhere on this plane, there is a perfect. And there isn't. That's what makes it so fun to be here, is the hope, the quest, the seeking. And when you get to that higher plane, that higher awareness, that expanded vision, you realize the imperfect is also perfect, because it allows for the ultimate completion to happen in the transition, the in-between, the non-being, the non-existence, the totality of potential and being in the same space. Maybe I'm getting too deep with this. Anyway, let's go back to... I didn't start at this point, and this is not my end point. This is where I am in this moment. And in this moment, there is so much potential. It's just like, wow, you bit the apple, the peach, the lemon, the orange, the whole shebang, and the world fell open. Like cracking an egg, and it all pours out. And it's like, what do I do with this? Do I cook it? Do I give it away? Do I dispose of it? What is it? What is it? It's the egg. Where's the chicken? If you don't go any further, then maybe you're the chicken. But it's all this stuff, all this flotsam and jetsam that we have in our minds that keeps us creating, that keeps us dreaming, imagining, envisioning. There was a post this week on Facebook, and it was something about, had to do with the future. And that if we couldn't dream up different elements, then we wouldn't be able to be where we are now, because it was all part of our imagining and our dreaming. And so, of course, the way I think is this circular logic. And my immediate thought was, well, without imagination, there is no future. So we carry our imagination with us into the future. And the future comes with us, along with the past, the present, the potential, the non-time, the element of in-between, where we are ever, ever existing, ever creating, ever being, eternal, no time, timeless, extraordinary. What I wanted to get into today was, somebody came to me with a power dream. A power dream is one that it's symbolic. It has an element, a code, a symbol, a being who comes to you. They may have a message that you are able to hear or not able to hear. And it's up to you to make a determination as to how that fits. What does it say? How does it speak to you? You know the truth of it because it's usually very simple and very profound. You feel it, you sense it. And a lot of times, this is a very nice way to segue into working with animals, spirit animals, totems, symbols, beliefs, systems that have been here long before any of us were born and will be here when we're gone. But they are elements in our collective history, our conscious and our subconscious awareness that call us to presence and say, you are more than this body. You are more than this representation of physicality. You are more. Remember. In my background, I was taught to read and to put definition to things by whatever I could read and somebody else's interpretation. It's a great start. It's how we learn. Our elders pass their wisdom to us, and they say, here, this is a stepping stone. Start. Oftentimes, we assume that that elder wisdom is timeless and that it's like cement. This is what it is. Be all, end all, forever and ever. Amen. It is what they knew at the time. It's what they knew to give us a piece of the equation. We're not here to be carbon copies. We're not here to duplicate, replicate. We are here to elevate, elaborate, extrapolate, and beyond. Because we are all creators. We don't know what we can do. We are discovering where we're going, who we're being, what is possible, and what might be possible if we expand our horizons and work outside our limitations to become spiritually connected, enhanced humans in being. When I started this path and the nightlight thing came into my life, it's taken a new level at this point. I start having experiences where I go into public places and the lights will blink. It's a very, very subtle flicker. It's for me, not something to go, hey, looky, looky, looky. Although I'd like to. Because I still think it's really cool. But it's a reminder. And why I need it, I can't answer. It is very comforting. It's just an amazing thing to have a connection like this. To say, every moment of the day, there is no such thing as alone. But we have to reach out. We have to expand to make that connection. One of the ways we expand is working with other beings, animals. They are co-creators. They have lots of wonderful bits of information to teach us. But today it's not about the animal in body. It's about the animal in spirit. And from the time I was little, I was drawn to horses. And then I drew horses because my grandmother told me, if you draw something, you can get it. I thought, well, okay, I'm going to draw horses. Thanks, Grandma. And sure enough, I was 10 or 10 and a half when we got a horse. Now, a lot of things came into play for that to happen. But later on, 20 or so years later, when I went to a Native American shaman, She said, and because I've always had this compelling, very concrete connection to horses. So once I didn't have them as a physical presence in my life, they remained in the dream time. And recently there was a white horse that I was dreaming about. And the white horse carried me to a place and then fell down. Not hurt, not injured, just resting. Resting. We had made this great achievement and the horse is resting. And I remembered stroking the face and hugging my horse and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In the spirit time, in the dream plane. We have guidance, we have guardians, we have beings. And if we are able to recognize them in the daytime and in the dream time, they give us insight into the ways we can become beyond our knowing, beyond our being, beyond our dreaming, more of the essential soul, the spirit, the element, the creator, God with a little g. There is no one superior. Each is a representation of a greater wholeness, a greater awareness, a greater place beyond what we are able to see and sense and feel in this tangible manifest realm. There was a discussion earlier this week, and again, I'm doing more things on Twitter and more on Skype and more on a lot of different types of social media. And I fought this for a while because I didn't want to be inundated and influenced, because that's part of it too. As you dive into all of this stuff, you can quickly get overwhelmed by it or consumed by it. But it's just like channeling. That's that same thing. When I'm channeling or when I'm connecting to that spirit plane, there's a lot of stuff out there and it's easy to get distracted because it's endlessly entertaining. And you have to realize, okay, am I projecting this or am I receiving? What's going on here? Is it me doing this or am I allowing? I don't want to get too distracted from the topic, but in simply acknowledging that you also have a part of this and you're also tuning as you go and receiving and editing, you become aware of how beautiful this world is, and our ability to create allows us so much flexibility and freedom in being a more interactive and powerful determiner when it comes to our environment and our experiences. So back in the day, one of the first things that my guides did, aside from getting me to the Church of St. Francis of Assisi in New Mexico, I talked about that on another show, but they do things and then I see how it marries, how it plays out, how it works. The key is I have to listen to the guidance and then that determines if I'll get any more information. Oh, they're so subtle. You have to do the work. And if you're working this path like me and you're doing this kind of stuff where sometimes it seems like you've been led down a blind trail and it's just all some big cosmic joke you're playing on yourself. But then things begin to add up and you begin to get connections that do bear fruit. And you realize, okay, the investment pays off. The first thing I have to do is quiet my mind and have no desire for an outcome. Rather than let the outcome present itself to me. And then I determine how that fits. So if you stop at being afraid or having a sense of foreboding, a sense of, uh-oh, this can't be right. I must be imagining. It's just my imagination. I need to get real. You'll miss some of the magic. Because what that does is it negates it. And so you don't see it. You just don't see it. You're seeing it. You won't allow that it may have a higher meaning, a higher purpose, another connection. The beautiful thing is when people talk about transitions, death and dying, near-death experiences and that kind of thing. They bring these other elements into play and they talk about these different dimensions, these different levels of awareness. Well, I didn't have to die to have these experiences. These experiences are available to each and every one of us in our own time, in our own way. So you can read somebody else's book to give you pointers, but in the end, you have to do the work to make it happen. And sometimes it's an effortless thing. All of a sudden, you go into that altered state, and it's like, whoa, hey, this happened. And then as soon as you start focusing on how wonderful it was that it happened, then you're right back out to where you were, and it spits you back out. And wait, I wasn't done. There was something important there. I know it. Mm-hmm. So you really have to remain able to keep yourself, and the Zen and Buddhism philosophies allow this, and explore it, and really set it up on a pedestal in a way, you know, to say these are things to aspire to. Detachment, to be detached. That doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you have no investment. It means you withhold judgment. You withhold assessment, scrutiny. You allow this thing to play out, whatever it is, so you can get the meaning, the full meaning, and not jump in before it's, you know, fully baked. With the animals, they sent me to Sedona. And of course, I had partners in this, people in my life, the events that were happening. But in Sedona, I connected. I had time. I was in between. Things were unsettled in my life, which gave me permission and an opening to explore new avenues. There were some things that I felt compelled to do for the first time in my life without having any frame of reference or background. The guides told me to go to a place and make an offering and sit there and be quiet and get ready to receive information. Now, afterward, I read about how this thing happened, how these kinds of things were what Native Americans did, who were more in tune with this kind of belief system. It was foreign to me, but I knew the information was accurate and it was important for me to follow through. So I took my offering and I sat in the canyon in a place that had, so I know it was a good place, a lot of coins, lots of them, lots of coins. Dimes, nickels, quarters. What was this? I didn't take anything. I just knew they were all there, and I was sitting there amongst it. It's kind of a way to feel rich. Sitting on a pile of coins in the canyon. I did find in that canyon a beautiful crystal. A little crystal. That's what the canyon was known for. I wasn't sure if it was a gift or if somebody had just dropped it on the trail. Because that's what sometimes you do. You take crystals with you. But this canyon was also known for having crystals. For me, that one was okay to take. It was under my foot. It was on the path. It was right there. If someone had dropped it, it was lost. If it was a gift from the canyon, I was appreciative. I no longer have it. One day it just disappeared. I have no idea what happened to it. I do know that it gave me an awareness of crystal energy, also a part of this expanded awareness, and how powerful the elements in our environment can be when we're open and receptive. I made my offering. I believe the gift came in another form. I heard things. I saw things. I was given information. Information that wouldn't play out for what? It's been 20 years, 20 some years. But it was there and it was cooking, as was I. Mm-hmm. Up, down, in between, inside out, changing. I'm not the person I was as a child or 10 years ago. And yet I am. But when you know somebody and you think you know them, you see the external, you see the physical. Oh gosh, you look just like you did when I saw you 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago. And yet they could have had a profound change. Yes, I am. And I'm not. That's the in-between. That's the full of potential and the being. Always in between. Elevating. Regressing. Digressing. The animals spoke to me in new ways. For a while, this energy and the information that I was given seemed too, it was too foreign. It didn't make sense. Why would I be important? Why would I have a message? Why would I, how, what, who, all these questions? Because my background is journalism. So it's a, you know, there's that constant questioning, that constant inquisitiveness. And there would be no answers. It was just, these are the messages. Take them and do what you will with them. But these are the messages. And so I did. But the dreams came with the animals and the spirit messengers. And it was a beautiful, I saw these beautiful pictures, almost like Egyptian sculptures, that they would be, there's one artist, I don't remember the names right now, who draws these incredible, massive structures. But if you look at them closely, they're all animals. So they're dualities. All of this information is present in the template. And if you look close, you can see it. Or if you're not paying attention, you just see the surface. And then you realize how it's all intricately interwoven. And each line representing that building is a part of an animal or a spirit. And to me, we carry our spirit messengers, those that speak to us, so that when we go through transitions and we go through changes and we go through powerful redirects and reformatting in our lifetime, they're guideposts, symbols, representations of wisdom. But the reason that we see them as animals, the reason we see them in such a way, is because they are part of a larger template that represents very much the animal kingdom and a part of who we are and have been. I saw myself in different lifetimes, in different positions. I transformed and morphed into being these animals. It was very, very powerful to have gone through that and to understand what it's like to be a cat in a box and just relaxing, sunbathing. I had been thinking, you know, what a lower position that would be, to be vulnerable and just helpless. And then when I had the experience as a cat, it was like, oh my gosh, there's such freedom in this. Freedom just to be a sunbather in that moment. But that, to know that that box was, I was totally comfortable in at home. And it gave me a sense of maybe I needed to be more at home in my own body. The messenger guides that spoke to me came in different forms. One was a lizard sitting at the canyon known for sun vortex. The lizard spoke. And each animal, as they spoke to me, there was a dialogue that continued. And when we were at a point where the dialogue ended, only at that point did that animal leave and continue on its path. It was amazing. And I think it's the reason we go on these, you know, dream quests, vision quests, sabbaticals. We take time out so that we can disconnect, disengage, detach from the worldly requirements, routine, obligations, and let the world, the universe, the cosmos, spirit, creep back in and show us the essential in being, within the real world. It's here. It's everywhere. But you have to open your eyes, the inside eyes, to see it. And doing that, we're going to come back and talk about the messages from those messengers and others. Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in a few.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi there. We're back. Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you're finding something that you can use. When I share my stories, it isn't that it's all my stuff. It's how I have put these pieces of my puzzle together, hoping that if I share this, then it will make sense in some fashion for you so you can take it to the next level and bring a new element into being with your creation. All right. So it isn't, there are so many ways to tell people to do this, but until you become familiar with your own view, your own preconception, your own way of fashioning and manifesting in the world, it won't do any good. Okay? So you have to come to that point where you're able to say, let's give it a try. What if? What if? And I surround myself constantly with people who are creating, who are bringing me inspiration, influencing me to wrap my brain around something new and different. Again, going back to the thing I saw earlier in the week, there was a debate between Brian Greene, fabulous mathematician, love his stuff, one of my favorites for a long time. He and Lee Smolin were two of the ones I got into when I started. The guys were saying, do quantum theory. You know, what? I don't do math. So I, you know, that, and it was just, who was the other one? David Deutsch. Parallel universes, different dimensions, altered states. All this stuff, the math of it was what was being emphasized as being important. And that's what I brought to the table when I wrote the book, Talking to Nightlights. But what the deal was that learning a new kind of language, saying that my word language was just a part of it. There's sound. There are equations. There are bits and pieces that put this whole thing together that we simply cannot access if we continue to do everything one way, left brain, right brain, whatever. It has to come together. It has to be expanded. One way to do that is to see the world through a different viewpoint, to become familiar with another way of engaging the world. Now, humans are, you know, we want to have a word for everything. If it doesn't have a word, it doesn't exist. Okay? And then if it doesn't have an equation, it doesn't exist. Animals don't need that. They don't get caught in the baggage of somebody telling them, this can't exist, so it isn't real. They see that whatever is standing in front of them is there. It's hidden in the bush, and the person beside them is absolutely blind or deluded because they won't acknowledge what this animal smells as real. And so the animal's trying to tell us, okay, look, pay attention. Hey, 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 bark, bark, bark. Shush, don't bark. We don't bark. Don't bark. And then the bear steps out and goes, dinner. Okay, fine. So the point is, in being able to engage in different ways with reality, we are able to expand our own view, our mindset, and maybe get rid of a few blocks. There was a wonderful little psychological tool. And it was, if you met a bear on your path, what would you do? Now, it's longer than this. I'm just doing the shorthand version. And that's it. You give that little game, that little puzzle to people and see what they would do with it. If I met a bear on the path, what would I do? I have to go on the path. I can't get off the path. I have to go forward. Well, that's the first construct that I put in. I have to go on the path. I can't go forward unless I do something about the bear. I did that. The person who told me about the bear didn't do that. Okay, there's one mindset. So I've limited myself. I've taken the option of flying and digging because I'm going to go forward. My solution was to make friends with the bear. So that I could go past. Okay, not everybody does that. But that was my solution. I saw the bear as a potential friend. And okay. Now, this isn't about reality. This is about creation and imagination. The bear represents an obstacle. Simple. What did you do with your obstacle? I disempowered it. It didn't have power over me. I decided to make it a friendly adversary, obstacle, hurdle. Okay? Everybody handles this differently, but that's one teeny tiny way of looking at how you view the world. Okay? Maybe yours is a crocodile on the path. It could be a mouse or a spider. How do you view the world? What do you do with your obstacles? Do you squash them? Obliterate them? Dematerialize them? What do you do? What do you do? With animal messengers, the lizard sat with me for a while, and I realized he had an incredible bit of knowledge for me. that had to do with taking things one day at a time. This message came from outside of me. It was so fast, I couldn't think it, which is the way the channeling has come. And I know, you know, my mind doesn't think that fast. I wish it did. I could be brilliant if I only applied myself. No. That isn't the way it works. But that part of it was so, at the time, astounding that all I had to do was sit. And this message would come to me. And he sat beside me looking out over the canyon. And we had this little mental telepathic conversation. And then probably 5 or 10 minutes, he continued about his path and his business and left me contemplating. Wow, they talk. Something talks. Is it the magic of the canyon, of the place, of the vortex? No. That's where it opened. It continued after that. I believe that was one of the gifts I received in terms of going to the canyon and offering, being reverential, being grateful, without expectation, just knowing it was important for me to show up wherever I had been assigned. It happened to be at that place. The other one that came was a frog. It was actually a toad. It was in the swimming pool. There's no way this toad was going to get out of the swimming pool. And he's really frightened as I'm trying to catch him, knowing that it's just a matter of time. And he's swimming as fast as he can the other direction. No. Well, at that time, I don't know. I can just say, hey, slow down. It'll be okay. And maybe he'll feel better. But I'm thinking that. I'm thinking, it's okay. I want to rescue you. Please stop. Don't expend yourself. I get the toad out of the pool. And then the most amazing thing happens. I sit on the side to dry out a little bit, just, you know, sit on the side via the pool. And I put the little toad beside me about 3 feet away. And he doesn't move. He stays there. I'm like, okay. So we sit. And then I hear this little message asking me if I got the wisdom of this exercise. Okay, what? Hello? And I'm looking at the toad. He looks at me. And I realize, I think this is the toad asking me. Like this had been done for me. And the wisdom of the exercise. Okay. What happened? The toad was in the pool and he couldn't get out. And I came along, scaring the poor thing to death. And yet, liberating the toad from certain doom. Okay. The lesser of many evils. Could have been eaten. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, those hawks are amazing. Anyway, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then this little insight comes. And it's like this. When you put yourself or find yourself in a trauma of your own making, don't be afraid to accept assistance from unconventional sources. I'm paraphrasing. That's how I remember it, because it makes sense to me. The language was very similar, but since I'm not reading the direct quote from my notes, I can't vouch saying that's the exact wording. Close enough. In other words, you messed up, okay? You messed up. And it's okay. You're going to get help. But sometimes you have to allow that help might come from a totally unanticipated and extremely frightening. Assist. So, you know, in all other sense of the word, I would have been a predator, the enemy, someone to run from, which that, you know, it was, if he'd been on ground, he would have been gone. But that was the message, that we all have this element that can assist us if we get rid of our fear. And if we know, I need help, huh, I am in over my head. Oh, gosh. Gee, I don't have a prayer. And yet, there is help. That is the most amazing thing to have been gifted to me from the spirit connection of animals. You'll find many different books with animal wisdom, animal resources, animal medicine. Jamie Sams and David Carson, I believe, one of the first books I got about the animals and the cards, the animal cards. I love them because they're so simple. But I also know that these are representations, and each person, as we do our own work, we sometimes put our stuff, we project our own bias into whatever material that we're passing on. So it's really, really important to be a clear conduit, to take my projections and my bias in the best way that I possibly can out of the equation, and to leave it lucid and clean and pure, so that you can take the highest element of this energy, this information, and make it yours without my dogma, my drama, my trauma, my bias. So in a way that animals present that, we choose the messengers, and we are receptive to the messengers that speak to us in ways that we can accept it without jumping to conclusion that this animal is an adversary or an animal, even, you know, the label. Transcend the label. It's a spirit. It's a message in a way that we can receive it and not be frightened of our own wisdom, of our own connection, consciousness. Coming to that, then you also have to make peace with your shadow. So sitting in this wonderful little casita in Canyon Mesa, Arizona, Sedona, village of Oak Creek, the room, the place was haunted. I would go into the living room and the TV would turn itself off. I'd turn it back on, it would turn itself off. Okie dokie. Gotcha. All right. Well, I had my nightlight with me, so that was always, you know, that was always present. And I knew that my own energies, my support system, my network, my guides, and that extra element of the energy is here. But I had learned how to clean a room and ask for those elements that were not going to be helpful or that had a darker, heavier weight would leave. And before I did that, though, I had another encounter, and I was in bed listening, before I knew I was listening, to this sound. And the sound was like a tap. Tap. What the heck? Tap. And then I heard it. Tap, tap, tap. What? Again. And I realized that was a sequence. It was a sequence. And I'm wide awake. That's a sequence. This is intentional. Something is here. I can't see it. This is what it means to get outside your box and stop asking for definitions, for research that validates something that exists. Because it exists. Whether there's research or validation out there, it doesn't matter. You determine validity. You can drive yourself sane or crazy, but you have to know I am responsible. I am accountable. I am awake. Awake. And at the point you know that, all the validation and the external criteria doesn't mean squat, because you have to determine that for yourself. When you are self-determining and you allow, yes, I can project, I'm not going to. Yes, I can extrapolate, I can elaborate, I can embellish. What purpose does that choose, or does that serve? I've deceived myself. So you start going back to basics. What did I experience? I experienced something I was not prepared for, something I didn't censor, something I allowed, something I was open to. This was a shamanic type energy, a presence. And of course, it makes so much sense in that area, that was calling to me, telling me to follow my path, not to be afraid, to let go of the things I thought were more important than my spirit world, than my spiritual connection, than my reason for being. And come back to center, to say, what else is here? What can I bring out from behind the shadow to let others know? We frighten ourselves over and over again. You know why? It makes us feel alive. There's so much drama, so much energy, so much emotion in being afraid, that that's when you feel really, oh, wow. It's a high. It's euphoric. But you really understand the potential when you get out of that zone, the fear zone, into the epiphany zone. There's more to being than fear. When you experience the other elements of emotions and give yourself more range, then you can advance to a higher state of knowing and other beings in that plane start to show themselves to you. Oh, my freaking wow. Yeah. That is when it gets really, really cool. Why do I work with my nightlights? Why do I do this stuff? Because I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm not frightened by it. I'm energized by it. This is so incredibly beyond anything we know, anything I know anybody else talking about. It's real. But you know what? The frustrating part about this is, no matter how much I talk about it, no matter how much I say it's real, it's only real for me. That's a bite. A big bite. But that's also the same thing that's really cool. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I can't prove it, that I can't show it, that I can't make it real for somebody else. No one can take it away. Because it isn't about me. It isn't me. It's this other element that is here for each and every one when he or she is ready and open and awake and inspired and curious and unafraid of themselves. So I clean the room in that little casita. I ask for protection. I ask for help, guidance, assistance. And I felt that energy shift. I watched the shadows come out of the corners and dissolve. There was a little fog around me as I did this. And I knew, it just needed to be free to go forward. Those things have happened many times since I wrote the book in different ways, in different fashions. When it wasn't about me and it wasn't about trying to scare me. It was about releasing stuck energy. I see it that way. I don't see it as a big, frightening, scary boo-hoo. Ha ha ho ho, you know. It could be. I don't see it that way. I see it as something out of alignment that needs to be given permission to unknot itself. It's tied in a knot. The string just needs to be free to float, to fly, to tie, to untie, to do, to be, whatever. String theory. Isn't that amazing? It kept telling me, study string theory. What? So I turned to all the guys and I said, okay, all right. So I did the Michio Kaku. I did the Brian Green and Lee Smolin and David Deutsch and, you know, all these really cool, cool math guys. String theory. We're all strings and we tie ourselves in knots. On occasion, we need help to untie the knots. And when we get help, we say thank you. And in the end, there's no more string. It's all dots and sparks of light. Wow. It's not as material as we would like to make it. It isn't linear. It isn't stuck. It isn't concrete. It's fluid. It's timeless. It's an ocean of being. And we are here in this moment, a spark of individuality, of creativity, of potential. So when the visions come to me now, representing each and every one of us in different ways, I ask not what they're saying. Somebody came to me this morning and said, this was a vision and this happened and this, I got this message and here was the animal spirit and the animals talking. And I'm not going to share this because I haven't had permission to name these things. I'm sure it would be okay, but I'm not, I have to get permission. But this entity representing itself had a language and she tried. She heard it talking. The deal was, the message was, I have information for you. It wasn't about the language. So what I said and what I have done when I'm not able to hear the words is to understand this is a metaphor. There is wisdom in the message. There is wisdom in the communication. Ask the element and your guides, your own inner knowing, to repeat what it would be most helpful for you to hear at the time. Because there's something happening on a higher plane. You're going to have to elevate and expand your awareness to reach it. They're meeting you at a middle ground by giving you the presence of this animal being, this animal spirit, this messenger, this divine presence. You have to lift yourself up. Get rid of your baggage, your shadow, your drama, your dogma, and rise to the occasion. As you do that, you become lighter. You are free to fly. You are more essentially present and aware. So find your spirit companion, your spirit animal, whether it be in flesh or in non-corporeal form. Allow your messenger to come to you and take a walk into the light of knowing, of remembering, of being, and become the fully conscious creator that you know you are. I am all that I am, and more. We are one. This is an amazing world. Take the time that you have and make a date with your essential self. Thanks for listening. This is Conscious Living. I appreciate your time. Got a lot of great guests to tune into, so check those out on Conscious Living on Empower Radio. In the meantime, think the highest thoughts. They come back to you.